He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I ask you the standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think it's a fake.
You think it's fake?
What? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, wow, what a week it's been, what a weekend I had last weekend. I hope you all had a fantastic weekend last weekend after we went off the air Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and in most of our cases, Monday. We had everything from the NCAA football games that had taken place all day Saturday, most of Sunday. And then there are others of us, ladies and gentlemen, who had the Sunday night privilege, if you did not get a chance to see the biggest and elite spectacle, as they say for The Rock, in all of entertainment, as we welcome DDP into the chat room. The Royal Rumble pay-per-view was this Sunday. This past Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, things happened where you could sort of predict and believe that they would build on something. Something great. Something where you would be like, wow, I didn't see that coming. But in all seriousness, in all honesty, you could sort of guess that they really didn't have anything. And not only that, and you go to Monday Night Raw, things got more a little bit more interesting than they did at the pay-per-view. I know DDP saw the pay-per-view. I saw the pay-per-view on a nice flat screen, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I did. It was great. If you're friends with me on social media, then you obviously saw that yesterday morning I had uploaded pictures on social media of my friend's flat screen TV. Of course, the picture didn't come out the way I wanted it to, so you're probably staring at that picture going, I know DDP, I know you saw the picture. You're probably like, well, what the hell match was that? I see the picture of the flat screen, but what match was that? I honestly don't remember what match that was. All I know is I took a picture of his flat screen. He was like, go ahead, take a picture. I was like, then everybody sit your ass down for a minute. I got to take a picture. Oh, man. But this Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, see, because today's topic is all about building. And what I mean by that is, I know in the last 2 months, I've given us titles where it doesn't seem like things have, you know, made sense at first. But as I always say, and I say it pretty often than not, if you stick with me until the end of the show, you are going to see that it all makes sense, what I'm saying. And I know last week it didn't really hit home with a lot of people. But last week we were talking about the writing on the wall, and I know I didn't really touch up on the topic. Well, because, you know, hey, let's just say that The Rock had showed up, and he said some very disturbing things to Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Steve Austin had to ask Matt's permission to take over the show and play his music, which you just heard a little while ago. That's how we open the show around here. Got to welcome guest 3161 into the chat room. Of course, DDP. Of course. You never know. This guest that's in the chat room could very well be The Rock. Could The Rock call into the show and who knows, call out Stone Cold Steve Austin again like he tried to do last week when Austin had rudely interrupted him by playing his theme music and going off the show, and that's how the show went off the air last week. I don't know what's going to happen on this show, ladies and gentlemen. All I know is you're in for a hell of a ride. I mean, so many things are changing in the world of sports and pro wrestling. Forget that. Let's get into this Sunday. This Sunday is the Super Bowl, and it's brother versus brother. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I've got two brothers, a brother-in-law, and a stepbrother. I mean, we have girls in our family, too. We've got sisters. Between the six of us kids, my stepbrother doesn't really count. So, and neither does my brother-in-law because he married my much older sister. So, yeah, let's just say that between us six kids, it's complicated to figure out things. But it's not complicated for me because I'm the one telling it, right? But this Sunday is brother versus brother. The Harbaugh brothers have both made it to the Super Bowl. They have made it to the dance. And this is going to be awesome. However, what's not going to be awesome is the spectacle that you've been hearing about it all of last month. I mean, come on. Last month was supposed to be only all about Christmas, right, ladies and gentlemen? And we're talking about the subject of our title today is building. You can't build off a commercial with commercialization. Sure, everybody used to I'll pay for a 30-second spot. How much does that cost? $2,000? Okay, I can deal with $2,000. But now you've got all these other people, like the Allstate commercials and stuff like that. You see where I'm going with this building thing? I hope you're starting to see the picture on this. Because now you've got the Allstate commercials. I mean, that little Geico guy, he's kind of cool. He's kind of funny. Humorous. But them and State Farm are both competing for your business. Oh, come on over. We have great customer service. We're just great. I mean, they're not telling you that to your face, but that's what their commercials are implying. I mean, I remember being a kid. I mean, I remember how many of us in the chat room can, in some form or way, raise your hand in the chat room to say that you remember the days of bunny ears on your television sets, right? Remember the rabbit ears? I remember the days when those used to really be 30-second commercials. And there still are a lot of ways, 30-second commercials. But the two commercials I just mentioned right now, between two different insurance companies, those commercials now they're getting permission to cater to everybody that wants to see more commercials, which is a bunch of bullshit. That's bullshit right there. Oh, the world, we know the world wants to see longer commercials. No, we don't. So far, people I've talked to, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I guarantee you, ask your friends, ask your family members, ask your coworkers. Do you think it's really necessary now for a commercial like Allstate to be running a 2.5-minute commercial? That's almost 3 minutes worth of time that I could be using to watch something else. And your friends and family and coworkers would probably all tell you the same thing. No, I don't want to see 2.5 minute commercials. The point of this is, ladies and gentlemen, for our second, we started the first one last week. Today is week number 2 of our NFL top segments. NFL Super Bowl segments, as we're heading into the Super Bowl. I mean, even maybe we might continue this even after the Super Bowl. We'll probably continue this segment well into the offseason. Who cares, right? But check this audio clip out that I have ready, and I'm going to play it for you. And because we all remember last year's halftime commercials, right? How they said, we have the best commercials ready. And they all made it with our interest and your interest, with you in mind, to make the Super Bowl more enjoyable, when really that's a bunch of crap because nobody cared about the commercials. Why would you care about commercials that weren't funny, they weren't even memorable, as we welcome guest 3168 into the chat room? And you just never know. But a lot of the Super Bowl commercials that they showed during halftime last year were crap. Nobody remembers them. They weren't exciting. They didn't make you laugh, all except one. And the other thing about the Super Bowl that has completely flopped and pissed everybody off, I know it's pissed me off, it's almost like the presidential debate that we had to go through. Remember? To see who would be inaugurated and become our president. But now that we know Barack Obama is staying in the office for the next 4 years, it's kind of been like that. The last 4 years, they're saying, oh, we got the best band ever. The top people are going to come in, and they're going to play some music. They're going to play some of their favorites for you at our halftime show. It's going to be exciting. Let me get to the halftime show, and, well, last year when Nickelback, they're all right, but I mean, they kind of went through their songs really, really fast, which is like, wait a minute. The NFL is paying you to do a halftime show, but you just come in there and just because you're on TV, I don't, you know what, I know we're a top band, but we don't have time to play our songs really, really slow. Yeah, you do. The NFL gave Nickelback a $30,000 increase just for appearing. Just for appearing. It's an appearance in the making of how they are building these NFL halftime shows, complete with NFL commercials and music bands. I mean, come on. This Sunday, for the halftime show, when I first heard the recollection about this, me and all my friends were like, what? No. We were at my friend's house 2 weeks ago for a party. We were there for a few hours, and when the commercial came on about Beyonce being the number one spot, you know, performer to do the Super Bowl show, everybody started throwing popcorn and different kind of, all kind of food that you could imagine at the TV screen. Because it's, you know, not really that many people, there's not many people that really like hip-hop or R&B music, whatever you want to call it. Nobody in that house, at my friend's house 2 weeks ago, was interested in this. If you don't think so, take a listen to this. And I'm going to pause after each one just to give you a special rundown of what these commercials are. Whether you like them or not, that's your prerogative. I probably like the first one. There are 7 of them. Are you ready? Here we go. Thank you.
soft tune on the biggest.
The GoDaddy.com commercial. This made an appearance. We just saw this commercial in 2010. And now they're saying that the GoDaddy.com commercial is a new branch. Yeah, right. Here's a brand new commercial that might make an appearance. Check this out.
Sports night of the year, with countless millions watching, NeoFit will be introduced by a new spokesperson.
Hey, can you say on TV?
MioFit. I'm not sure really what MioFit is for, but I know it's got what's his name in it. Is MioFit supposed to be a new TV commercial? I mean, a new TV show, I should say. A new TV show coming with all the comedy and drama, or is MioFit just. I mean, the commercial doesn't really explain anything. Sure, like I said earlier, nobody wants a 2.5-minute video. It's a 30-second commercial. Okay, I know I did say I like the GoDaddy commercial, but I think a lot of the guys, if this next one makes it on to the Super Bowl this Sunday, I know all the guys will be like, ooh, ooh boy, it's getting hot in here. How about that Mercedes-Benz commercial? There's some speculation that the new Mercedes-Benz commercial that it has too much sex appeal to it, that there's really no reason to show it because of the younger viewing audience. Well, last time I checked, kids don't really care about the Super Bowl. They're not interested in the commercials. So, since they're not interested, just go ahead and show the other version of that Mercedes-Benz commercial with her being half-nude and all that. But they're thinking they might pull this one and not even use it after all. Simply because of, like I said earlier, the younger viewing audience. Yeah, right. Here's number four. Yeah, Coca-Cola commercial, that's what that was. They're not really promoting Coca-Cola. I mean, they are, but it's really stupid how they're promoting Coca-Cola. This next one is from Toyota. A bit crazy there. That was the Toyota commercial. Sup. Oh, sup. That's basically all the commercial. And then it just says Toyota at the end of the commercial. I'm not really sure what to think about that. Here's the next commercial. You're probably saying, well, I know that special R&B song. It's a hip-hop song. But what was that supposed to be? That last one was supposed to be a Taco Bell commercial. Now, this last one is really, really long. Really long. And you heard part of the girl crying. This young adult girl crying over her cat. And, well, it doesn't really show anybody driving, but it's supposed to be based off the new Volkswagen cars that they got coming out. Checked out this long commercial. How about no? These are commercials that nobody's going to remember once again. And then you have the bad, you know, contingency of Beyonce there, or whatever you want to call it. I can't think of the word right now. The word escaped my mind. The only good thing about this Super Bowl for this Sunday is the fact that it's brother versus brother. Remember, but he has told me that, you know, well, you know the Niners are going to win, right? They're the most favored to be into this whole thing because they're building off their strength. They're building off their personal stride from Mr. Kaepernick, the new quarterback. And they're enlisting and listening, intently listening, to everything Jim Harbaugh is saying. Meanwhile, on the other side, you have the other Harbaugh brother, who's not really using his voice to say things to motivate the Falcons. His conquest this whole entire week has been based on one word. Guys, we're going to practice. Let's go. Get out there on that field. Jim Harbaugh likes to use his mouth on the 49ers and tell them things that they already know or things that they need to learn in order to prepare for the biggest game ever. And like I said last week, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be an intense battle. And I'm sure, I'm almost certain and can almost guarantee this, that this Sunday, even though they are brothers, you know that things are probably going to come to a head when you involve and consider the referees, the officials that sometimes can't, or in this case, the Super Bowl, they really, really won't even bother trying to do their actual job. Which is really, really disturbing. How about the people I have in the chat room? I'll just make you all the officials this Sunday. Get out there on the field and call the game right down the middle. You know, and normally they tell you beforehand, you know, we have these seven officials, they all have experience, and these are the guys that are going to enhance and enforce all the rules as our officials for the Super Bowl. This year it seems like the NFL took a page out of Vince McMahon's playbook. We're not going to announce to the world who our officials are going to be. I mean, the two teams that made it to the Super Bowl that are preparing for this Sunday, the 49ers and the Falcons. I mean, excuse me, the 49ers and the Ravens. The Ravens don't know, neither do the 49ers. No one has been told, not even Jim Harbaugh. He hasn't been told who's going to be officiating this game. So it's a surprise to everybody. When everybody walked out on that field, because everybody's going to be waiting and anticipating when the game announcer says from the loudspeaker, "Ladies and gentlemen, please regard your attention to the center of the field. We have so-and-so today. He will be our head referee for today's game." And I know that by now we all are more than inclined to know who's a better lead official than most others. And whoever the main referee is that's going to be determining the gameplay and the game action, if the audience starts booing, you know that means one thing. He has experience, but he doesn't have experience as somebody else that's been there longer. Or is just out there to call the game because they couldn't find the real referees. You know, that sarcasticness about the whole fake referees that we had there for a while. I tell you. And the other thing to insert into this little Super Bowl segment party that we got going on is that when the referees start implementing and laying down the law for their own rules, and as they build on what they want the game to be, because God knows that you can't put a fucking idiot out there on the field without a damn whistle, without codes and signs and using hand signals. Ball start, number 27, offense. 5-yard penalty, repeat first down. Or like in the championship game 3 weeks ago, they had to reset the clock twice in the fourth quarter. Remember that? Because every single referee that's been interviewed by ESPN or somebody else says, "Oh, I don't need to look at the game clock. I know how much time a game is supposed to be played." Yet the guys that were in the championship game 2 weeks ago, "Oh, crap. Oh, we forgot the 2-minute warning. Oh, can you please reset the clock to 2 minutes and 20 seconds?" Which meant that would give both teams a chance for one or two more plays. They still had that time because the referees weren't paying attention. How are you going to put some idiot out there on the field who claims to know the game and how the game is played and that they know how much time is on the clock in their head? Are you certain you really know that? And I would like to see something from Roger Goodell and the NFL, because they're the ones in charge of this sport, where they need to do something a little bit different starting this Sunday. What I would like to see happen from now on is the line judge referee and the side judge referee, from now on, they need to stand 3 feet back before a play even starts. Because right now, they've got them 2.5 feet back. Let's go back to that championship game from 2 weeks ago. The line judge almost got bowled over when Colt Kaepernick was trying to throw a pass for the 49ers, in the championship game, and he's running backwards and backwards trying to get away from the other team's defense because they had set up a line blitz sack. They were ready to just – they were trying to do a blitz, and they were trying to sack him. He turns around. He got freaked out because he thought that the person that he saw behind him was another player. It was actually the line judge. And he just stood there, and then he got out of the way. I was like, you idiot. Are you trying to get injured? We can't afford to have a line judge getting injured on the field. And I hope to God that for once, please. I know everybody says, well, Matt, you need to be realistic. I am being realistic. I'm being 100% real. I tell it like it is. DDP knows that. I hope guest 3161 knows that too. Because for the first time ever, can we just have a game where the referees call it down the middle? I don't want either coach going, what the hell is wrong with you? That's not what happened. Didn't you see the actual play? Because a lot of these referees are blowing a lot of calls. And I want the guys upstairs, because most of the NFL executives will be there this Sunday. This time, instead of them having four people in the office upstairs to authorize reviews, as we welcome Coffee into the chat room, how you doing, pal? They're going to have five. Five NFL executives will be sitting in the special office upstairs on Sunday to authorize or not authorize a replay. That actually makes it better. Instead of having four people, which you normally do, they're going to have five. And I hope if something gets blown, that the upstairs personnel, meaning these NFL executives, go, no. I know you're the referee, but this is our call. We want you to review the play. Don't penalize the team for something you didn't see. For once, I hope this game goes down the way it's supposed to go down. And I know that both brothers are going to be like, oh, come on, ref. And I know that when they get to the halftime part of the game, they're probably going to sprout off each other and be like, I know we're brothers, but damn, how could you do that? You got me in trouble with the referee. And I'm sure after the game, they'll forgive each other because they're family. Oh, come on, Coffee. Coffee just said in the chat room, he said, like the last 20 years, I will not be watching the game. Watch the game, just don't watch the halftime show. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go to commercial break, we're going to do our own commercial break because it's much cooler. But I hope that this Sunday, as we're talking about building, that the NFL lets the game build for itself. Not for the referees. Not for Roger Goodell. For the fans. For the people that are paying you money, Roger Goodell. They're paying your paychecks and the paychecks of everyone associated and involved with the NFL. Especially these NFL players. Who feel like they have the right to spout off to a normal person like you or me. Just because, oh, now they make $7,000 a year in their contract. Bullshit. Play the game fair. Let the game build and speak for itself. Don't fuck up this game. Otherwise, I'll have to send Coffee after you. And Roger Goodell, you don't want Coffee coming to your house. He's a lot taller than you. I think he's a lot taller than most of your NFL players. Actually, I'm just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how tall Coffee is. Oh, boy. stay right there. We've got a lot more coming at you. Let's just say that when we come back from commercial break, you might think some stuff for the news that's about to come out of my mouth is fake, but it's not. I guarantee you, it is not fake. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. Want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, because we are the four-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato. Noriega from NDB Media. Just want to give you a taste of our schedule. All times are Pacific. Sunday at 2:30 p.m. ADD Tangent. Rave at 6. DJ and Eli in the evening at 8. This week on NDB Media at 9. On Monday, 6:30 a.m. Fantasy Extra. Then at 4 p.m. D-Space Jeff. 8 p.m. Sports Talk with the Guys, Weekend Edition. On Tuesday, 6 p.m. The Five Tool Show. At 7, Tuesday Night America. At 8, Fandom Access. On Wednesday at 9 a.m., Bertone Beatles Bonanza. At 4, A Gal for All Seasons. 5, Tri-State Sports Guys. On the first Wednesday, Comics 101. On the last Wednesday, Eclectic Offerings. On Thursday at 4 p.m., twice a week, Classic Trek with Sam and Dave. 5 p.m., Travelitch Radio. At 7 p.m., Edge of Reality. Friday, 6:30 a.m., Fantasy Extra. 1 p.m., Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez. Raise Your Glass is on at 5. Your Mental Health Radio is on at 6. On Saturday, Sports Talk with the Guys Extravaganza. And then Runaway Mind on the third Saturday. Lots of stuff going on. NDBmedia.net, twitter.com/NDBmedia.
Mike, what is your deal,
oh,
man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my goodness. Once again, today is Friday, February 1st, 2013. I can't believe it. I can't believe it's already February. We already talked about it, of course, a quick review, that this Sunday is a Super Bowl. Let's hope that they don't throw any stupid or boring commercials in for their halftime show. And, of course, we know that Beyonce is going to be performing. Whoop-de-doo. And the only reason I was laughing when we came back is Coffee said that he went to go buy a TV. He told everybody in the chat room he went to go buy a TV at 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, what? Yeah, right. Who was open at 1 a.m.? He's like, Walmart. Let me guess. You got a plasma flat screen TV now, huh, Coffee? I don't even have a flat screen TV. Can't afford one. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I know many of us, most of us, can't afford things. But I know you can afford to tune in to the rest of this right now as we get back into this. Ladies and gentlemen, some new things are developing in the world of pro wrestling. Because the things are getting logically out of hand, but then they're, it's just not what it's supposed to be. Like the world today, economics and the economy, gas prices going up, we all know that. The way the country is run was never intended for this purpose. And it's the same thing with pro wrestling. Pro wrestling was never supposed to get this complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated. You heard me mention that back in October. Things can be much, much easier if these promoters and people in charge would relax. Don't worry. Check this out. The venue for this weekend's National Pro Wrestling Day in Philadelphia to all my pals in Philadelphia, especially my co-host who comes in once in a while, AJ. You guys know AJ. He lives in Philadelphia. The venue for this weekend's National Pro Wrestling Day in Philadelphia has been changed. The event, which includes over 20 promotions, was originally set for the Derby Inc. Gardens, but will now take place at the National Guard Armory in Philadelphia. So, yeah, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area, do not go to the Derby Gardens. They will not be there tomorrow. They will be at the National Guard Armory instead tomorrow. That's where they're taking place at. Chris Jericho took a possibly good-natured shot at the Grammy Awards while promoting his hosting gig for the Revolver Golden Gods Awards. Jericho will serve as a host for the May 2nd ceremony in L.A. When asked about what he thinks about the Grammys, this is why I said it's possibly good-natured. I don't think he's actually slamming them. He's just joking around with the people that were interviewing him. However, he did say, "Fuck the Grammys. Our show is sexier. It's much cooler. We're wrestling. Wrestling is cool." To go back to what I said, it was never supposed to be intended to be this way. WWE has filed a lawsuit against their TV partner in the Philippines, Solar Entertainment. The lawsuit is over money that WWE claims it's owed to them by Solar. Solar says that because of this, it is no longer airing Raw, SmackDown, or even pay-per-views. So to all my friends in the Netherlands, like Scotland, our Irish friends, our Canadian pals, all of my Canadian friends, all of you, Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views are no longer airing, but they have agreed to only broadcast NXT and Superstars. But WWE has requested a jury trial for this reason. Vince McMahon, never wanted to get enough money when he has enough money anyways. Coffee knows what I'm talking about. Despite the fact that they were never pronounced husband and wife during their Impact segment last week, TNA storylines are considering Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan married. That's what the writers have intended now. Wrestling was never intended to be this complicated, because there was a lot of confusion backstage as to whether or not they were actually married. Because some of the boys in the back, like AJ Styles, he was like, "I saw it on the monitor. You guys got married, but then we know that the Ace and Eights attacked you all." It became a huge beatdown that interrupted the ceremony, with even Hulk Hogan tweeting that the wedding ceremony came to an immediate halt. He said on Twitter, "Thank God it did." So now they know that they have some work to do on this. They say there are no plans to change the storyline, which is really stupid. Come on, Dixie Carter. Of course you can change the storyline. That's why they're called storylines. It's not real. It's not even intended for real purposes. Wrestling has come to this. And TNA turned Taz heel for two reasons. The first reason was to have Taz turn heel, was to have the prize person break up the wedding and to give Aces and Eights someone with strong mic skills. Of course, the bigger problem turning Taz heel and him leaving the broadcast booth for just this one segment, and the writers are going to keep him involved with this storyline. And you said, "Well, shut up, Matt. You said it was a problem. Get to the point." I'm getting there right now. The problem is that he cannot do anything physical due to his long-standing neck injuries from years past with the original ECW. So why is he even involved, you ask? Impact Wrestling has decided not to report or do any more interviews conducting this story, because they know we're onto their game plan. Everybody's on the wrestling's game plan. We're not stupid. These promoters need to stop thinking that we as fans are stupid and that we're idiots because we don't know what the buildup is going to be. Oh, give me a break. Bullshit. And you're also probably wondering, that was a really, really kind of well done and kind of crappy Valentine's Day video for ShopImpactWrestling.com. Well, you really want to know who directed that video? It's Coffee's ex-girlfriend. Christy Hemming was the one who directed the Valentine's Day video. Just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. Christy Hemming has never met Coffee and vice versa. I just thought that would be cool to include that. The Rock and CM Punk were rehearsing for their Royal Rumble match on Sunday afternoon before the show. The finish, however, was kept a secret from the rest of the WWE locker room, and WWE management put up a curtain around the ring so no one else could see it. Wait till we get deeper into the show after all this wrestling news is over with. We're going to keep tabs on that. Because some Punk fans have been upset that Punk was pinned by the people's elbow and not the Rock Bottom. Everybody said, why is that? How come he was not pinned by the Rock Bottom? Because the reason behind that, since Punk kept saying in storyline terms that the people don't matter, the Rock beat him with the people's elbow. That was the whole reason for that on Sunday night at the pay-per-view. The Rock is still set to give the WWE title lots of exposure as he promotes his upcoming movie before WrestleMania 29. However, the only issue is that he does not, and I repeat, does not have to work house shows. He won't be working any house shows. And you say, well, wait a minute. In theory, because Vince McMahon, this is how he operates, when you're the champion, you have to make all appearances everywhere, even at house shows. Well, let's just say they probably, I bet you there's a movie clause in The Rock contract because he's now doing movies. Which means he gets to take the title with him everywhere he goes, and he doesn't have to work certain shows. In this case, he won't be working in the house shows. He will still be working live events like Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views. But other than that, he doesn't have to appear. Former pro wrestler Tito Montez this week, a.k.a. his real name is Edward Maynard, passed away this past week at the age of just 78 years old. Montez is an Arizona wrestling legend and worked in the Pacific Northwest. All of our condolences to the Montemayor family at this time of his passing. WWE had John Cena and Daniel Bryan saying that they will attend the Winter World Philadelphia Comic Con on May 30th and June 1st. So to all my fans, all my friends that love the Comic Con conventions in Philadelphia, man, Philadelphia got a lot of exposure at the beginning of these news reports. And, well, last but not least, you're going to be like, what? What? Are you serious? The final wrestling story about this is, check this out. If you weren't pissed about WWE's antics before, get ready to be pissed again. Ryback noted in a recent interview that Vince McMahon killed the Big Hungry nickname that he was starting to use. Now you're probably saying, which one? I know, it's confusing because it's only, I know a lot of you have emailed me and said, yeah, well, that's the only thing that these wrestling websites are saying, is that he killed Ryback's character and his catchphrase. Which one? Well, let me tell you, people. It goes like this. You know, every time when Ryback comes in, does his entrance, And then before he leaves the ring, what does he always say? Feed me more. That three little catchphrase that most people have told Vince McMahon, you know, you can make a lot of money on those T-shirts if you flash those three syllables, feed me more, on a damn T-shirt. You know what he said? No, that will never sell. What do you mean that won't sell? What do you mean you can't build off that T-shirt? We're talking about building stuff. He doesn't believe that the Feed Me More T-shirt will have any effect at all on his collusions and his camaraderie that he's doing running his company. You just heard me mention 10 minutes ago that he is in a lawsuit with the Australian government of how they had a partial agreement or a settlement, whatever you want to call it. And if they lose, Vince needs extra money to pay them. Or if they lose, they have to pay WWE this money. They are preparing to go to trial for this. Vince, you do need money. What did Vince McMahon used to say in storyline terms back in the 90s when he was doing his altercation with Steve Austin? Remember, he said, it's all about the money. But he doesn't reiterate that to real life, because in his real life, reality doesn't matter. That's how Vince McMahon operates. Coffee. Coffee is one of a kind in our chat room, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we know Comic-Con is a nerd fest. I've never been to one, so I can't really comment on that. I know my good friend Matt Broderick, who is not with us in the chat room today. He's at work. Very sad. I know AJ Stahl and Eric Williams, both of those two guys live a lot closer to the Philadelphia area than I do. Sure, we've had some Comic-Con conventions here in California, but I live in Northern California. The nearest one that they go to every year is down in L.A., California, Coffee. I've never been to one, so if you want to send me a whole bunch of money to go to L.A., I would appreciate it, Coffee. But other than that, I don't know if it's a nerd fest. I've never been to one. Coffee furthermore went on to say, what's PG-13 Raw? No, we need to go back to TV-14, and I believe that they are slowly getting there, pal. I believe that. I really do. He said, instead of having Ryback say, feed me more, how about feed me whores from the Ho Train? Yeah. Yeah, I know Roger lives in L.A. Yeah, he does need to hook me up. Roger, are you listening to this? He's probably in his office listening to our live show right now. Or he could be out and about with his kids. Probably listening to us in his car with his daughter's iTunes. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we are on Blog Talk Radio, I should say. All of Blog Talk Radio with any show you want to listen to. Doesn't just have to be us. They are on iTunes also. So to all my friends who are listening to us on iTunes, you're probably listening to me right now in your car. Very awesome. That is awesome. That's very cool. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, Coffee, I don't know if you actually, you know, watch the pay-per-view on Sunday night. Because it's funny that you should mention the last joke that you threw in the chat room there, pal. It's funny how you say that things need to be built on a higher level than what were you seeing. It's good you said that too, Coffee, because out of all the things that WWE does, it's to try and trick us. Or wait, no. I take that back. I should say that they make us believe that we don't know what their next move is. And to some degree, they do have us, you know, lost because that's who they are. But 90% of the time, we as fans, we are right when we say, oh, that was a dumbass build-up. They could have built it more. They really, really could have built it more on this past Sunday's 29th annual Royal Rumble pay-per-view. You know how many new guys that they have now? They got a lot of people that just signed on with them in November. A lot of these guys are on the NXT show. And I told you about this, you know, last month, that some of our boys here from California Wrestling Promotions are now in WWE. They're about to make their appearance on NXT in a few short weeks. But, you know, they put a lot of the same people in the Royal Rumble. I mean, there were some surprises. And I will just say that, hey, you know, Coffee, you know how you mentioned that whole Ho Train deal as a joke? Well, I'd like to tell you, Coffee, and everybody else listening, there was no joke because the Godfather did make an appearance in the Royal Rumble. Now, I told my good friend Matt Broderick when we were texting each other, he said, I saw that picture of that Royal Rumble thing you and your friends did. Explain that. Well, it's a picture graph. It says Royal Rumble on it. And it had 29 spots. Actually, 30. For all the 30 participants. What we did is we wrote down before the pay-per-view. We didn't even watch the pre-show because the pre-show is on YouTube. And my friend's bedroom, well, let's just say it's 3/4 of an inch too small for all 12 of us that were at his house to fit into. And we felt that the pre-show was going to be just something that wasn't going to be interesting to watch at all. So we didn't watch it. So what we did is we wrote down all 30 entrants in what order we thought was going to go in. And my friend, he went to Kmart, you know, and bought all the WWE products and stuff like that. He brought some gifts to use as prizes. And he bought these replica belts from Kmart also. And Toys R Us. And what we did is he created a fantasy league. So if you were dead on, you would get multiple points for the person, you know, that you wrote down. And that's what we did. And then he said for the actual pay-per-view, that, you know, hey, we flipped the page over. On the back of the paper, we wrote down who was going to win what matches that were listed. And, of course, for the main event, I wrote down that The Rock was going to win. He said, well, if you do win, you'll get 3 points total to what you already have in all your Royal Rumble participants. However, I didn't get any of my Royal Rumble participants correctly. The first one, of course, was, well, this didn't make sense to a whole lot of people. Because he's the Money in the Bank holder, Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is number one. And, of course, him being with AJ now, and their newest acquisition, Big E Langston. You see that? You know, I wish that Teddy Long or Booker T, somebody of that magnitude, or even Vince himself, would have had, you know, the decency to have, you know, because never in the World Rumble history have they done something like say if Coffey was, you know, supposed to be in the Royal Rumble match, and we know DDP's real life condition, that he can't walk or anything. So let's say that Coffey was supposed to be in the Royal Rumble all this time they're promoting it, right? But then DDP wants his own shot for a chance to win the Royal Rumble and go on to WrestleMania to face the champion. That DDP is going to get all fired up and really, really mad, really upset. What's he going to do? He's going to attack Coffey from behind with his damn wheelchair, right? And he'll get his shot, and that's how he's going to take Coffey's place. They could have done that with Big E Langston. They could have had him take somebody else that was already in the Royal Rumble match. Of course, he's not going to take out Dolph Ziggler because he's working for Dolph Ziggler. And, well, you couldn't really tell where they were going to go because, hell, he was only the first entrant. So because he has a minute and a half to waste time, he tries to build his own promo. He grabs the microphone and he says, I don't care who number two is, but number two, when you come out here, you're not going to be here for very long. I'm going to win, and I'm going on to WrestleMania, baby. Woo! Bring out number two. I don't care who he is. I'm going to kick his ass. And they stop. And the lights go out. And then you hear Chris Jericho's music, and we are like, what? Are you serious? Dolph Ziggler's number one. Chris Jericho's number two. I know that I told you a year ago over the summer, ladies and gentlemen, that Chris Jericho told the world on Twitter. I'm done. I'm done with WWE. I'm never going to WWE again. I honestly don't have the time, and it's good money, don't get me wrong, but, you know. Yes, Coffey, the Rumble did already happen. It was this past Sunday. DDP, I agree with you. That Raw needs to go back to TVMA, mature audiences only. Well, like I said 2 weeks ago, I believe that they're getting back there. I believe that that's where they're headed. They have to. They need more ratings. They need to sell more pay-per-views. They need money for a lot of reasons, mainly for this lawsuit. Anyways, the first match of the night was the United States title, The Miz taking on Antonio Cesaro. Antonio Cesaro wins. Then they tried to give the audience that were watching the pay-per-view a hype for the CM Punk versus The Rock. We had a last man standing match for the World Heavyweight title, which, you know, you're probably saying, why are you running the pay-per-view down this way? It didn't happen in this order. I know that championship matches always happen towards the end of a pay-per-view. But this time, that's not what happened. The World Heavyweight title, the last man standing match, was second on the wrestling card. Big Show versus Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio won thanks to Ricardo Rodriguez. And of course, you know the Big Show is not going to be too pleased in the next few weeks. He's still trying to get back into the WrestleMania hunt if he can. The tag titles were on the line. Cody Rhodes, Road Scholars, took on Team Hell No. Team Hell No was the winner of that match. This is a very good match. Although I do have to say their sequel after the match was very stupid. I'm the winner of the match. No, I won the match. I got the pinfall. No, I'm the winner. Can you cut this crap out? It's getting annoying. Nobody cares who won. Well, to an advantage, we as fans do care. But we don't want to hear it repeated 10 or 20 different times in our damn ears. From two different guys. One, Daniel Bryan, who used to have the haircut like the 70s kid. From that TV show Happy Days, remember that? And you've got Kane, who's supposed to be a demonic, demented demon. It's not really demon-like. He's dressed like a demon, but he's acting like a 16-year-old girl. Give me a break. Finally, it was time for the Royal Rumble match. As I said, Dolph Ziggler was number one. Chris Jericho was number two. Cody Rhodes came out as number three. Santino Marella came out. Then came Drew McIntyre. The three-man band was consistent in the Royal Rumble, but they did not win the Royal Rumble. Titus O'Neil came in. Then here came David Otunga. I know what you're thinking. But David Otunga in real life is taking care of real-life clients, because in real life he's a lawyer by trade. He was never supposed to be a wrestler. Well, because, A, they're trying to work on a bigger build-up for David Otunga's character. Number two, they're trying to work on his contract. So what the writers and Vince McMahon did is give David Otunga a one-night contract at the Royal Rumble just to watch him and see if they can see anything that they can build off since he was in the Royal Rumble match. And then, the next entrant blew everybody off. We were flabbergasted when we heard dun, 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 dun. I know, that was just part of the music, and you're probably going, who in the blue hell was that? None other than Goldust. That's right. Goldust made a Royal Rumble appearance. And he goes after Goldust. Well, Goldust, I mean, was going after Cody Rhodes. And we were like, hey, brother versus brother. This is great. Cody Rhodes taking on Dustin Rhodes and his brother Goldust. That's his character. And somebody joked, one of our friends had joked around with our Northern California main promoter, Roland Alexander. He was like, hey, Roland, can you tell us if Dusty Rhodes is going to come out next too? And then it'll be father versus both of his sons. We all laughed. Well, we knew that wasn't going to happen, but hey. The next man to come out was Tensai. And Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler. By the way, Jerry Lawler kind of pissed off some people. I was one of those people. Did you notice before the pay-per-view even started, DDP, that he was the only one, ladies and gentlemen, that was not all decked out with a suit and with a tie and with the nice slacks and with the slick back hair? He really honestly didn't have his hair combed. All the other announcers, even the main announcer, the guy that announces everybody, Justin Roberts, he was in the ring dressed up. But Jerry Lawler, for some reason he got permission to be casual at ringside in his announcing duties. And you're probably saying, well, how was he casual? He's wearing a big, big graphic T-shirt that had nothing to do with WWE. And he's wearing slick, small-ass jeans. A T-shirt and jeans for Jerry Lawler. Well, I don't know how to explain that one, but damn. And You know that they actually bleeped? If you watch the pay-per-view, I know DDP saw the pay-per-view. I certainly did. The announcers are covering Tensai, and Tensai is going after Sheamus, who came out next. Sheamus was the next entrant. And while he's fighting with Sheamus, the audience is chanting, Albert, Albert, because that's Tensai's real name. His real name is Albert. His wrestling name is Albert. But now they try to sell him off as a Chinese ass-kicker, who they say came from Japan, and that's why he has all these Japan tattoos. But they were actually trying to bleep the words Albert. Come on, Vince. Vince McMahon, are you stupid or something? You think we're stupid? We try to. That's not even a bad word. See? Remember years ago when I played the audio clip of Paul Heyman calling him out, and he had a very intense, real-life conversation with Vince McMahon on a national audience, on Raw, when he said, you believe that wrestling is a dirty word. It's a bad word, and we can't say it because you're Vince McMahon. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to wrestling names. He said that Albert is now a bad word, and that his name is Tensai. That's the name that they gave him, and that's what he needs to be called. Anyway, the next man out is Brodus Clay. They're trying to build him, as we're talking about building, they're trying to build him as the Funkadacto. Basically a dinosaur. What are you going to do next, Vince? Put a dinosaur tail toy on him? Give him some fake-ass horns? Have him run out to the ring and try and bulldoze everybody? Yeah, right. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work at all. The next surprise entrant, better than Goldust, was Rey Mysterio, who came in and the first guy he attacked is Chris Jericho. He did a big, big splash on him. At this point, several people were eliminated. They eliminated Brodus Clay with the help of Darren Young, who made an appearance. He wasn't even supposed to be there, but they also gave him a one-night contract. Kofi Kingston also came out there, and he came out just before, and he got to help them eliminate Brodus Clay. Everybody was thrown over the top rope. And on a side note, I know that in the past, WWE has always been like, well, be careful. We don't want injuries. Just help them grab the bottom rope. That way they won't actually fall and hurt themselves. This year, because they know that they need the ratings. If you fall and get hurt, oh, well, just take your ass to the back and the trainers will work on you. The boys were really taking falls. When they got eliminated over the top rope, boy, they got eliminated, right, DDP? That was awesome. The next entrant was Bo Daniels from NXT. Finally, a brand new face in the Royal Rumble. Well, you had Big E Langston. You had all these other guys that you could use. And one out of five, you pick Bo Daniels, who's a great, great athlete. Bo Dallas, he starts hooking up and fighting it out with Cody. Cody Rhodes, you know. And at this point, they were both clobbing each other, and then they turn around and they stop because they stop to look at Kofi Kingston. Kofi looks at Cody and Bo Dallas, and they both look at each other like, ah, what the hell? And they knock Kofi Kingston out of the ring, but he ends up on the ring apron. And he, you know, he got clobbered, and then Darren Young was the one who eliminated both Bo Daniels and Cody Rhodes. And that led Kofi Kingston to end up on the announcer's table because, well, that's just where he ended up after those two got eliminated. But he was, like, trying to figure out how he was going to... He was, at one point, deciding whether he could jump from the announcer's table back to the ring. And then he thought about it. No, I got a better idea. And in the biggest way to try and get buy rates for the pay-per-view, the writers had him do the next best thing. Michael Cole, give me your chair. Give me your chair, I'll kick your head in right now. I mean, I'm not playing. So Michael Cole had to stand there. And, well, Michael Cole was trying to be brave. So JBL was like, ah, the hell with it. Michael Cole, you're such a chicken. You're such a sap. You're a kiss ass. You're kissing Vince McMahon's ass. Here, Kofi, use my chair. JBL willingly gives up his chair, and he stands there for a good 10 minutes. And Kofi used the chair to get all the way back to the ring, only to be eliminated by the Gods, by Cody Rhodes, who tried to get back in, but the referees had already declared him out. And this is where it got interesting. The Godfather, the leader of the Ho Train. I know. Coffee's favorite guy. Coffee wants to be the Godfather. You're right, Coffee. You're right. It's a fake sport. Nobody cares about what you wear, but they do. But they only gave Godfather, they didn't even give him a 20-second start. They had him get eliminated by Darren Young. Let us point out Wade Barrett. Wade Barrett comes out and he takes out Heath Slater and Rey Mysterio and the other two members from the three-man band. And this is where you were hoping and praying that this would not happen, because John fucking Cena, the stupidest guy in all of WWE's history, comes out at number 19. Everybody stops. Because up to this point, he had been cutting promos on everybody in the locker room. He said that no matter what happens, they were going to come get him some. And he wanted them to. So, Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, and Dolph Ziggler, and Heath Slater formed a wall, along with Bo Dallas. And even Bo Dallas got in there and got some good shots in on the kidneys. They, all of them attacked John Cena. Daniel Bryan comes out. He's the next man in. He gets involved. But then... I'm not sure why the writers had them do this, but it's like he became John Cena's tag team partner for a minute. Because he stood back and he was his feet and everybody, and he was actually protecting John Cena in the pay-per-view. This was during the Royal Rumble match. And I'm going, oh my God. But, you know, here comes Damian Sandow to the ring, and he's the next entrant in. After that, here comes Kane. Kane comes down, and everybody thinks that Kane's going to do what he's done every year, which is eliminate the most people. But because he started having a growing problem during the match with Antonio Cesaro and Sheamus, he eliminates them both. But then, you know, Cesaro just, you know, in his way, he thought he would work on John Cena and take care of the whole thing there. But things got crazy. Ryback comes in, and you think, well, it's the last five people. Randy Orton comes in. And he RKOs John Cena and Ziggler. And he gives Sheamus an RKO just for good measure. And you think, well, John Cena and Sheamus, they're looking at the WrestleMania 29 sign. And the last four guys. And you think, Yes, we know who's going to win. We know who's going to win. It's going to work. Our dream will come true. No, everything flipped. When Ryback hit a spinebuster and the Feed Me More chant started up, Ryback gets ready for a big clothesline. But he never got to deliver because Cena dropped him and locked in the STF. Stupid, pathetic idiocracy by the writers. And the crowd was still dueling for the Feed Me More chance, hoping that something magic would happen, that Ryback would, even for a minute. A lot of us don't like Hulk Hogan, and I know most of the people in that building don't like Hulk Hogan. But they were just hoping for a Hogan miracle, that he can Hulk up and power out. No. Sheamus gets eliminated, and along with Sheamus, Ryback ducked John Cena, but John Cena just was able to jump off the back rope and go back into the main rope where Ryback was already standing, and he just stood there and he took the clothesline. And John Cena is the winner. And we already knew even before the main event. Damn it, now it's going to be Rock Cena 2 at WrestleMania. This is pathetic. This is ridiculous. And that's what everybody was saying. We couldn't believe it. Well, we kind of knew that it would happen, but we were hoping. I didn't care who won. I wanted a new winner. And as Coffee alluded to earlier in the chat room, this is fake. It's an ominous sport. But still, even then, Coffee, even then, DDP and guest 3161, I thought for sure that at least Vince McMahon and the writers themselves could for once come to an amicable agreement. And still, it pissed everybody off. It's like, what the hell? Because the writers, this is the problem, the writers can't seem to get along. Some of the writers were high on Darren Young. And some of the writers were not high on him. Some of the writers were like, well, he shouldn't really be in this match because, well, long and short of it is, he sucks. The same thing with David Otunga. Some of the writers like him, some of the writers don't. They weren't even sure about actually using. You heard Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler say it, and JBL too. JBL said, well, you know, Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, the two guys, these two guys that are in this Royal Rumble match, we told you all before when the pay-per-view started that they were not even going to be here. They were here, but they weren't going to be involved in any way, shape, or form, but yet they're out here, which was true. All that was true, what they said. Because it's the writers. They're arguing like a couple of little girls that can't seem to get their shit straight, and they're arguing for no reason at all, which means they're basically wasting everybody's time. Remember what I told you last week when they were doing Raw? They had a 3-second delay. Because I'm online, and I know a lot of you get WWE programming and all these other programs before I do. You're all 2 hours ahead of me. And my friend Brittany, she was like, show me on social media. She said, where's Raw? It's already 9:02. Raw's still not on the air. Remember, like I said last week? The writers were arguing because they had two different videos of Martin Luther King Jr. that they wanted to use. And Brian Gerwitz is going, no. This Martin Luther King video is better than that one. And Michael Hayes, who's not even a head writer anymore, he starts opening his damn mouth. No. This Martin Luther King video is the best one. It's better than your video. And I told you all last week that Vince McMahon was in his office drinking coffee. Till finally other personnel started telling him what the hell was going on, and he finally comes out there. Well, what's going on? Start the show. We're supposed to be on television. And you know the other thing that upset people? And DDP, you can tell me if you saw this or not. I just want to make sure we weren't seeing things. The camera crew was actually messed up during Daniel Bryan's entrance when he came out during the Royal Rumble match. I don't know what the camera crew is doing or what they're thinking, because they start when Daniel came out, they actually showed something that was really, really blurry. And we were like, what the hell is that? What are they doing? I don't know. I was like, you got me. I don't work for the camera crew. Come on now. This is the thing that they did. They're actually falling asleep on the job. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. They need to set their camera crew straight. They got so many problems. They really do. They've got to cut this out. And finally, the main event, The Rock versus CM Punk. The Rock did win. Of course, they had to. CM Punk won the first time, but Vince McMahon came out and he restarted the match. Because there seemed to be a lot of things that just didn't look right. And Vince knew that, so he said, well, we're going to restart the match. Because CM Punk thinks he's so smart. But you're not smart. Restart the match. And the first time that CM Punk won, they showed The Rock's mom. And she was really, really mad the way the whole thing went down the first time. But I'm sure that after the pay-per-view, I'm sure he once again explained to his mom, it's just show, Mom. It's okay if I actually lose the title. Because when he won the second time, because Vince had restarted the match, then she was really happy and smiled and clapping. But the first time, yeah, when CM Punk won the first time before the restart, boy, she was really, really upset. Really upset. Not knowing that it's fake or whatever. And the last thing I'll point out about this match is that how does somebody like Michael Cole still have a job? Yes, the Michael Cole himself. Because they're going through the match and everything. Oh my God, the couch potato is in the chat room, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome the couch potato. How you doing, couch? What's up, man? Ladies and gentlemen, This is the most knowledgeable man in all of sports. He's the couch potato. He'll be on this channel tomorrow morning, right after Sports Talk with the guys, of course. Yeah, I know you would, couch. But the thing of it is that, like I said before couch came in, how does a guy like Michael Cole still have a job? And I know that whoever was on the headset this time, whether it was JR or whether it was Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, somebody told him in his headset to say this stupid line. Because The Rock and CM Punk are fighting, and then the lights go out. And the whole time the lights are out, who is that? I don't know who that is. And JBL, John Bradshaw Layfield, damn it, I can't see a damn thing. My coffee better not get spilled over. And Michael Cole had to keep saying it over and over. Wait a minute. It's the Shield. It's the Shield. Now stop for a minute. Just pause right now. if it's pitch black dark, you're working your ass off as an announcer to sell the product, but you can't sell if you can't see anything. When the lights came back on, he started saying it again. JBL, it was the Shield. I can tell you that right now. And Johnny even called him out on it in front of a live audience. How do you know it was the Shield, damn it, you damn ass kisser? Why don't you go kiss Vince McMahon's ass? He's right in the backstage area, damn it. We don't know that. It was too dark in here to see anything. Oh, my God. Just tell the audience, look, we as wrestling fans or even regular fans, like I said for our NFL segment, fans are not stupid. That's why I said during our NFL segment that if anything goes wrong with a call and the referees think that we're stupid on it, there better be some real NFL executives sitting upstairs going, no, review that play. It's the same thing with wrestling. They should have built on that better. Instead of having Michael Cole say anything like that, you don't say that crap on pay-per-view. Oh, it was the Shield. I know I can't see anything, but I know it was the Shield. Yeah, how would you know? Yes, Couch, I'll get to that in a second. I will get to that in a second. But overall, I have to say, it was a very good pay-per-view. And I got to watch it on a very nice 36-inch plasma flat-screen TV at my friend's house. Oh, flat screens are such a joy to have. Like I said earlier, though, I just will never be able to afford one. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's me. Well, we've got Raw to run down. But we'll run Raw right after this.
Hey, fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even,
oh my God,
the leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick35th. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time, and of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Less.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. We have 15 minutes left in our program, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a two-way conversation in the chat room during that commercial break. I, of course, had to take off and get the best drink ever, as my friend from the group would say. Get your snacks on. Well, I don't have any snacks, but so I'm drinking mug root beer. Couch, you love mug root beer, don't you? No way, I think Couch is a Dr. Pepper fan. But, you know, like I said, we had a two-way conversation in the chat room. Me, Couch, and DDP, I mean, hey. Oh, good, I'm glad you love Mug. But Couch had said something in the chat room during that commercial break. He said, you need mad skills to be a TV writer. Of course. It's not that hard. I mean, the only hard thing is that Vince and his company and others that are in charge of his company for him expect you to have a BA degree, an associate's degree, and one other degree, and I can't fucking remember what it is, but shit, what the hell? No, Couch, no diet. I don't drink diet soda. Yeah, something like that. I forget what the other degree is that you have to have just to be a WWE writer, Couch. It's something crazy. It's one of those things. I forget what it is. But, you know, the other, real quickly before we get into Raw, because that's all the time we have and just to get into Raw. I know I said we'd get into some TNA. But as you heard me mention during Wrestling News segment that TNA is, of course, having their only problem is, and I know Couch probably saw this last week, is that Taz is the newest member of Aces of Eights when he can't even wrestle or do anything physical. Couch says, oh, the degree is basket weaving. Yeah, right. Oh, brother. But you know the big thing, like I said, before we go into Raw, I have one more thing to say about the pay-per-view. The one thing that all of us that were at my friend's house, and we had a few girls there too, that we were all just chilling, relaxing, watching the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. The reason the girls came over was because WWE had put it on their website last week. I told you last week on the air that, well, it's on the website that the women might wrestle. The Divas Championship might be on the line. Then remember before the show went off the air, I said before we go off the air, I'm going to check for you all. I go to WWE's website just to check that. Then they took it down. And they kept doing that the whole weekend. Why? Because, like I told you last week what was going to happen. They're going to end up writing this shit out at the very, very last minute. That's exactly what they did. They didn't even know who was going to do the pre-show match. They weren't even sure if half these people that they wanted in the Royal Rumble match, Darren Young, Wade Barrett, and of course David Otunga. Like I said earlier, some of those guys, the writers have a problem with some of them. The writers, others like the other guys, like John Cena, they want those guys in there. But these writers got to realize they can't have it all. I mean, and once Goldust was announced to be in the Rumble match, well, is he here? Yeah, he is. He's right there. Okay, you're next. You're going to be in the Royal Rumble match. And normally they don't hold walkie-talkies to tell the guys upstairs who are out there with the audience, play Goldust's video. Goldust is coming out next. What? Yeah, Goldust is coming out next. because they did it so last minute. I told you all that was going to happen. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, I know Couch loved Jericho. But they had four girls that were backstage, including the Divas Champion. They had them backstage just to be ready, just in case they wanted to throw an extra match on the card. But then they were like, well, nah. 2 minutes before Rock and CM Punk got it on, because they're out there in the ring and they're just walking around the ring. That's all they're doing is walking around the ring. And once they finally hooked up, Brian Gerwitz looks at all four girls and goes, thank you for your time, but we won't need you tonight. As you can see, this is our main event. Here's your ticket for your plane flight home. Good night. That's all he said. He sent them on their way. They said, wait, why are you sending us on our way? Why can't Vince do it? Vince is busy. Busy doing what? Drinking coffee again? Give me a break. Come on now. So the girls that came to our party were pissed, Couch. They were really pissed. And I tried to do everything to console these young girls, and I was like, well, sorry that you didn't get to see the women wrestle, because Vincent's an ass. I mean, look, if you already have something listed on your website, such as this, and this is what Couch was talking about with me during the commercial break, he said that you have to have talent in order to write stories. I could write a better story than them. And I said, well, go work for them. They are actually hiring for a few corporate positions too, Couch. And he said, well, no. They'd fire me after a week. I was like, no. I told him during commercial break, I said, no, they'd fire you more after a day. Same with me. You really wouldn't like my attitude when it comes to getting stuff done. I would want stuff done properly. But if you have something, I mean, we're talking about building things. You want to build off storylines. You know that new kid from NXT that was in the Royal Rumble match? Since the most person he had problems with in the Rumble match was Sheamus, and he's a heel, and Sheamus is a good guy, he's a babyface, start a program with them. I mean, they probably won't like that idea. See what I mean, Couch? They'd fire me if I came up with that idea right now. If I was to say, the new kid that's from NXT that was in the Royal Rumble match, put him in a feud with Sheamus. No, he's not ready. He's still on NXT. I think they would have a good match. Put him on Raw. No, we need him on NXT for a while. See, they wouldn't like me. Because they were afraid of catering to a real, actual fight. So what? Isn't that what wrestling is based off? How do you expect to have real feuds when you can't even see the feud starting? We can see it as fans. But the main reason is, like I said 2 weeks ago, it's the fact that, and I know Couch will think this is real funny, but it's true, that the only reason that half of these writers got these jobs as TV writers for Vince McMahon is because of their degree. But the other 20% of the writers have never even watched wrestling growing up. They don't understand the art or the athleticism of it. They don't understand what it means to actually wrestle and sell a pay-per-view so you can get some asses in the seats every night. They just think, oh, we're here to write stories. And the storyline that we think would make the show and productivity better, they're the ones that are saying, no, that would never work. We have a code to live by. It's just called story writing. Your code is called story writing. That's really great, but it's not. It's pathetic. Well, I'm sure we all saw Monday Night Raw. Randy Orton took on Antonio Cesaro. This is the only thing that they picked up on from the pay-per-view. Because in the pay-per-view during the Royal Rumble match, Orton had actually stepped over Antonio Cesaro with his fist, and Antonio didn't like that, so that's why he challenged Orton. Orton said, fine, we'll have a match tonight. 24 hours after the pay-per-view, I can still go. And he did because he won. Bo Dallas did come out. Like I said, he's the new kid from NXT. He came out and took on Wade Barrett. And he actually won. They actually let him get over. It's about damn time. Bo Dallas isn't the winner. I like this Bo Dallas kid. He's cocky, he's arrogant. Even though he's famed for being a country boy, but well, other than that, I got no problems with him. Cody Rhodes took on John Cena. John Cena was, you know, they had him in mid-card status for the night, even though he did win the Rumble match. They had the Lumberjills, Tamina Snukov versus Caitlin, and the Lumberjills were Alicia Fox, Aksana, Layla, Cameron, Naomi, and Rosa Mendez. They were all dressed as Las Vegas showgirls. Remember, Raw was live from Vegas. Yes. I know all my L.A. friends who also do Blog Talk Radio shows. I'm sure most of you might have even been at this event. Or you heard about it because half of you live in Vegas. All the other Blog Talk Radio hosts. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about you, yes. Then The Rock came out and he did his promo, well, you know, answering things about what took place and who attacked him, whether it was the Shield or not. Damian Sandow took on Sheamus. Sheamus did win. Team Hell No took on Dolph Ziggler and Chris Jericho. They felt that they had a common interest to be a tag team. But then again, they really didn't. So, Kane and Daniel Bryan, they won. And, you know, because Paul Heyman had thought he could escape things from Vince McMahon and others. And Vince said, well, we need to have your performance evaluation review, just you and I tonight. Just you and I. And if you get all the answers right, you get to keep your job. If you don't, you're fired. And everybody, all my friends were texting me, Heyman's going to get fired. Heyman's going to get it tonight, Couch. That's what they were telling me, Couch. I said, no, you're not. You're wrong. He's not going to fire him. Something's going to happen. The only interesting thing about this night, and it was funny too, and this is the kind of TV that needs to happen and take place, is when Vince showed the footage of him working a deal to even keep CM Punk out of the loop. CM Punk didn't even know what was going on. In other words, you're probably saying, wait a minute, this all sounds too familiar, like something else that's taking place in real life. Well, it was. They were making fun of the Manti Te'o incident. You know, they wanted CM Punk to play the role of victim. That's what they were doing. But it was funny when Heyman cracked me up. He's like, Vince was like, so what do you think of that videotape? That wasn't me. That wasn't you? No, that wasn't me. You're the only fat ass around here. What do you mean that wasn't you? That wasn't me, Vince. I am telling you on my ex-wife's grave, on everything I own, even on my own children, that was not me. Now that's the kind of TV and story writing that needs to happen. But then you didn't get to hear Vince McMahon actually fire Paul Heyman because Brock Lesnar is back. Yeah, he's on a tentative contract until WrestleMania. And just like I was correct that Paul Heyman would not be fired, I also hope I'm correct that the 49ers will lose this Sunday. Don't you think so, Couch? Come on, Couch. Give me your prediction. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have. We'll be back next week. Now, The Rock didn't call in. Neither did Steve Austin. But I'm sure things will get on a roll next week. This Sunday, brother versus brother. We'll see you later. We'll see you next week, everyone. Take care. Peace!
Heading to the top rope, and he's in it! Frog splash! Frog splash! Come on! Get it!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question, you know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What?
Is
that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.